In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred and Little Stephen's Underground Garage, and it's time for your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. On this episode, I'm chatting with Astrid Waller, also known as Sugarcane, and she's a founding member and the bass player in the Norwegian all-woman band The Cocktail Slivers. Their new album, Joyride, is out now on Wicked Cool Records, and it features our recent coolest song in the world, Move. We'll hear a bit of it now, and then I'll be back with some sugar for your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Mighty Manfred, and as it's Friday in Little Steven's Underground Garage, it's time for our coolest conversations. And joining me is Astrid Waller, also known as Sugar, bass player in the all-gal Norwegian band The Cocktail Slivers.
Hi.
So the lady's newest album is Joyride. It's out today on Wicked Cool Records, and it features this week's coolest song in the world, Move. Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's from Norway, Oslo. It's in the hot season here in Oslo, and we are just released this fantastic album that we were waiting for to be released, and we're so happy to share it with everybody in the whole world.
Well, you're right. We're going to talk some about the album in a moment.
I
know that Cocktail Slivers, y'all are from Norway, based in Oslo. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Norway, a place, a town called Bergen. It's a really rainy town. That's why I moved to Oslo, because it's too much weather for me. You know, I like to go with a bang, and I always fall down when it's raining, and high heel shoes, and it doesn't fit the weather, you know?
Exactly. So I've got an idea of where Oslo is in the country. So Bergen is farther to the north?
It's the west from Oslo.
Is that a college town at all? Is there a university there?
Yeah, it is. It is. There's lots of students there. Yeah, it's a student town like Oslo, and it's another town. Trondheim is also a student town in Norway. But there's lots of people come from all Norway, move to Oslo, of course, because it's the capital and it's the biggest town in Norway. And it's a lot of people doing rock and roll here in Oslo. So that's also the reason why it's great to live in Oslo, in Norway.
Well, when you were growing up there in Bergen, like, for instance, do you have any sisters or brothers?
Yes, I have. My sister lived here in Oslo, too. She moved over here many years ago. But people in Bergen like to stay in Bergen. They can move a little bit out of Bergen, but after a while, they always go back. They're really, like, close to this town and very social people. So it's great, great people there. But, of course, it rains a lot. Maybe that's why
they talk that much. I don't know.
Well, do your parents play instruments?
My mom did. I grew up with, she was playing all songs and we sang along, you know. So, yes, I was used to that. She loved Leonard Cohen. She was, yes, she died last year, but she loved music when I grew up.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that your mother passed away last year.
Yes, and I had my brothers and sisters, they also liked a lot of rock music. They introduced me to like B-52s and to Kiss and to Nazareth. And
well, you mentioned that your these brothers and sisters introducing to music. Are you the baby in the family?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
So you say you're able to take advantage of all of their music collections as you were growing up. Were you playing any, did you learn, I know you play bass in the band. Did you learn any other instruments like when you were in school?
No, I tried many years. I was like, in my heart, I'm a guitar player because I'm always hear the song, guitar tunes, all the time. But I thought it was too hard. But now I just love playing bass. But I love to play bass, but I like to make song with guitar. So, but I can't play really, but I have my guitar in my head. So, if you understand what I'm meaning.
I do completely understand what you mean. But what about the bass? When did you start playing the bass guitar?
I maybe was around 20 when I started. So I started quite late. But it's never too late to play music. Never. If you enjoy it, it's never too late.
Well, why did you start playing music? Why did you decide at 20 that was time to start playing music?
You know, I was wanted to do it before, and I wanted to start a band before I could even play and start with girls, because I was when I was teenage, I was a really heavy rock fan, like a really heavy rocker. So I wanted to start a group, but this was so few girls playing rock music in Bergen when I grew up. So when I was 20, I was thinking, okay, I start playing, and I started right away, even if I couldn't really play bass. And I tried to start band when I moved to Oslo. So, but here in Oslo, with lots of much more people playing music, like for girls, so it was much easier to start bands.
So when you, let's talk about this for a moment. So you were in Bergen, and I know you were talking about, you know, the rain there and things. So you're 20 and you decide it's time to get the hell away from home. And it made the most sense to go to Oslo. Was that just, were you going there just to pursue music, or what was going on and on?
For me, it was, I just want to move away from Bergen because Bergen was so little. It was so small, really small. It's a town, but it's not a big town at all. It's not Oslo. It's not huge, but it's much more bigger. So it's and all the big concert always came to Oslo. And a teenager, I always traveled to Oslo to go and see bands all the time. So for me, it was just not an option to live in Bergen. It was a few bands came to Bergen. It does, but not the huge band. It was lots of things that. Yeah, and I started to get to know people in Oslo because all the concerts I went to, it was so many great people from Oslo. So it was something I decided quite early to move to Oslo.
So you go to Oslo, and I know that you, before the Cocktail Slippers, some of the members are, you'll have to remind me exactly how this works, but there's the Barbarellas and then the Cocktail Slippers, and you and Rocket Queen were together in the Barbarellas, is that correct?
Yes, in 94, the Barbarellas started, like a girl band, like this garage rock with spacesuits, and the image was just space, you know? And
did you say that you were in spacesuits?
Yes.
Oh, that sounds cool. I like that.
A little bit like Jet Surfers, you know, this inspiration with like the silver suits. Yes, like 60s girl group, like go-go boots and silver. I was not the original because I started 9 months after, because it was the bass player there. She got pregnant and I came along and she didn't come back. And the last 2 years of Barbarellas, Rocket Queen came in, and also Lisa Fafisa, or Modesty Blaise, the first singer of Cocktail Slippers, she also played there in Barbarella's for 2 years.
Okay.
Yes, and it's, but when the singer, the original singer, she stopped to sing in the band. That's why we changed the name. So this was the, so Cocktail Slippers was original the Barbarella's, because we just changed the name when we recorded the first album, Rocket. We decided that okay, it's not any original members in the band, and we had to vote for this because some of us wanted to keep the name because it takes a time to build up a band name, you know.
Yeah.
But then again, we wanted to start fresh, even if we went to the studio and recorded it as Barbarella's. This was Barbarella's songs, the first record. And but it became the Cocktail Slippers, the Rocket. So, but even if it was Barbarella record. But then again, but we started, and of course, Stevie found this first record that we recorded.
Right, he found it in a record store, is my understanding.
Yes, and this was this record that was the Barbarella's. And of course, he said later, oh, you should never have changed that name. Barbarella's is such a cool name. And it is. It is like because of the Jane Fonda film, you know, the Barbarella's film. And it was like really inspiration from that movie. And yeah, that's what's how the first record was made.
Right. And so now, let's make it clear, too, when you mentioned Steve, you're talking about little Stephen was there in Norway and he found that. He found that first record.
In yes.
Finn, and then you guys, shortly thereafter, you're on Wicked Cool Records. And your latest album, Joyride, is out today. It's available today. It's on Wicked Cool Records, Stephen Van Zandt's label. And I believe it's Joyride your sixth album overall? Is that right?
Yes, it is. It is our sixth album. 25 years to sixth album. It's, yes. And we're really in a hurry. We wish we could release much more. But you know, you have released a record yourself also. It's everything takes time. It's not just to make the song, recording and all the distribution, or everything. It's it takes time, but we love doing it. This is maybe the thing that we love the most. Of course, to release record, make your song, release them, and play them live.
Well, the album credits that I've seen for the new album, they listed as produced by Michael Scott Hartung, Stevie Van Zandt, as well as the Cocktail Slippers. Can you tell me something about Michael? Who is Michael Scott Hartung?
Yeah, Mike. We call him in Norway, just call him Mike because he's American. And yes, he's a great producer. He's it's good to find people who know rock music, and he produced lots of rock and pop in Norway, but mm-hmm. But he understands our concept, you know. We just wanted to make the song like it doesn't need to be like this or this. It just have to feel right, you know. You know, when you're making a record and you're thinking, oh my God, yes, like this. This is fantastic. And nobody have a name for it. It's not like it has to be garage or it has to be a 60s girl group or it just have to feel right, you know? Have to be like, yes, everybody have to love it. Then it's the right thing for us. And this record, it's lots of different kind of songs. It's not just one style, it's lots of styles. But of course, all of them is rock music. So, and two of the songs we also recorded at Renegade Nation in New York. Two of the songs.
Is that, which two is that? Is that Back Where You Belong? Was that one of the two or not?
No, that was that song we had already released as singles. That's Jungle.
Yeah.
And it's I Still Dream You. This is two songs that are also going to be on this record that we have already been released.
And we'll take a listen to Jungle in a few minutes, in fact. We'll go out with Jungle when we're there. But before we move on from Mike, though, I was wondering, what is how does Mike's role differ from Little Steven's? Because Stevie was also involved in the production. How did this work? You were working things up initially with Mike, and then Stevie would give you some feedback on it, or was Stevie present there somehow? What was the relationship between the two producers?
Yeah, this is very interesting because we have when we're making songs, Stevie always listened to the songs and he said, oh, yeah, this is great. But what about La La La? He's changing a little bit. Could this be more like the chorus, like changing the tone? And we do this like a dialogue, you know, talking back and forth. But when we go in the studio, Mike is together with us in the studio producing things how we wanted it to be, you know. But then again, Stevie listened to this afterwards. So he, you know, so both of them are producing it. Like Mike producing it when we're in the studio. And Stevie, he's listened to the thing before and after. And he said, come with ideas and what about trying this? And we're testing things. That's why both of them are together with this. But we like to produce music also because we have a good dialogue with Mike and Stevie.
Well, let's talk about this coolest song in the world this week. It's Move. Your former lead singer, Hope, is singing about being paralyzed by fears that cloud her mind, trying to motivate herself to get out of bed, or, you know, being overwhelmed by events. Those sorts of feelings, you know, that being overwhelmed, overcome, maybe even depression. Is that anything that you yourself have had to deal with directly?
No, it's I think it's a lot about people saying, oh, we should do this and this. You're just like talking, because none of us are like just talking about things. We're doing. So that's why it's like, hello, just do it. Get out of bed. Come on, you know, like motivate. Hello, you can do anything you want. Don't just talk about it. But it's like, hello, we're there. You know, it's a positive energy to give to people. You can do anything you want, you know.
Well, who all contributed to the song's writing?
All of them. Everybody is making music. But the most that makes the lyrics is the Rocket. She makes most of the lyrics.
So did she come up with the initial idea for this particular song?
Yes, and together some of it is Hope also, but most of it is Rocket. Yes, absolutely.
So was there anything about how the song was written or created that's different from the way your songs are typically worked up? Is it?
No, not really. Things are very back and forth. It's like everybody can come up with ideas and the meaning of like if they think it's something they could come up with the song, everybody get to listen to. That's why it's a good way of working, because everybody is included.
Well, there's another song on there, This Town. So what town are you guys singing about? Because this town sure is not Los Angeles. Where is this town at?
You know, it's like, it's a rainy day and you're thinking, oh my God, it's a really gray city. You know, all cities has gray days, you know. But in reality, whatever thing is gray and dark, it's, you love it anyway. And then it's like everything open up and everything is just fantastic, you know. It's like your mind. Sometimes you can have a dark mind, but it's like it's all town have a yin and yang, you know. And it's like this song is, first we wrote it for Oslo, but I think everybody can relate to their own town like this, because all cities has some dark side and all side love about it, you know? So most you can say, you can complain about something, but then again, you love the city, you know?
Oh yeah, you can. Oh, you sure certainly complain about it, because you can complain. You can always complain with justification because you have to live it, right?
Yeah, you
but
have
at the
to
same
live
time,
it.
At the same time, it's funny. I don't know how you. Let's see if you feel the same way. The same. You know, I always feel like if I live a certain place, then I'm allowed to complain about it because I'm living with it and I'm dealing with it.
Yeah,
but I don't
to
hear other people complain about it. You know, like some of them from someplace else. Oh, I'm where you live is blah 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 blah, and it's like, really, really? Let me tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody know that feeling, because you're sensitive when somebody else criticize your own place.
Right.
Of course.
Right.
But
right.
It's so much easier to complain. Oh my God! You know the train in Oslo, they're always late. You know, but of course you can complain about it. But after a while, but then you can think, oh my God, Oslo has so much nice things. They have this and this. Don't just focus about the negative things. But of course, sometimes it's good to just complain. But then again, we love it. We love this town.
Right. Well, that's one great thing that's, if we're talking about the, talking about yourselves and the cocktail slippers, and I'm referencing back to Move here, is that it's not just, you know, complaining is a thing that, you know, sometimes we all need to complain to vent, but part of the way the band's philosophy is to get out and do it. So if there's, you're not happy about things, to make changes with things and to be positive. What can you tell me? What can you tell me about the song "Don't Know Why"?
Yeah, you know, this song we've been writing it so much back and forth. You know, I'm not sure really. I'm maybe not the person to be ask about this song, because this song we changed so many times. That's probably the last song we recorded.
Oh, all right.
Yes. All of the other songs, but we love the song. We do that. Not misunderstand. Understand this. It's yes.
So there are a total of 10 songs on Joyride, and you mentioned that you know, everybody contributes to different degrees with the songs. Is there any one of these songs that began with an inspiration from yourself? Or if not, is there any of the songs that you feel especially invested in? Like you had, you know, song started and you're like, no, this is my favorite. This is one I really want to put a lot of effort into.
The song that I really, really, really love on the record is "Back Where You Belong" that we released. It's, you know, I'm the one who I love making music, but I'm not doing that much lyrics. That's not my heart, you know? That's what I'm saying. So for me, it's the feeling of rock music is so strong, you know? I'm terrible at listening to music because I get really focused about songs, how they're making songs, like good feeling, good vibe. And I think the "Back Where You Belong," it's, I love the, this is my kind of, if you can say something that is my style. It's like something that I love really. The mix a bit about garage and also 70s rock music, you know, a little bit like Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin. It's mixed. I love the crossover, you know, like between lots of different styles. So this, I really enjoyed this song. I really loved when we released this song.
And that song, it seems like when I've seen you perform most recently, that was on the Underground Garage cruise, not this year, but the year before. Is that, were you using that as the opening song?
Yes, we do. Yeah. We do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And you will be sailing on next year's Underground Garage cruise.
Yes, we are. And we're really looking forward to this.
Have you been on any other rock cruises?
A couple of years ago, we went to a cruise outside Stockholm. That was a hard rock boat. It's funny that we go to hard rock because, I don't know what, yeah, because this rock cruise we're going to the next year with the Underground Garage, it's absolutely not a hard rock, but it's great to go in different styles. It's like it's good to be put in different kind of, like, not just garage rock but hard rock. But I don't think we're hard rock, but it's great to meet other people who listen to us. And yeah, that was really fun. It was I think it's a great experience, because people, if it's a lot of people who maybe haven't, not everybody have heard about you, they open up their eyes to, like, a festival, they recognize you, and it's like people are very positive, like, not just to listen to a record, it's something else to listen to it live, you know, to find new bands you enjoy. So I love that, to be on a boat.
And when you are not rocking with the Cocktail Slippers, are you a photographer? Is that your...
Yes, I am. Yes.
All right. Well, yeah. When did your love of photography begin?
You know, it was, I didn't know I was going to be a photographer. It was a friend of mine who was working as a photographer, and he asked me, this is maybe 25 years ago, and if I wanted to assist him. And I was assisting him for 3 years, and after this I was started working as a photographer. And I'm taking picture of people, mostly women, and I've been working a lot with magazines in Norway, And yeah, people, a lot of people.
And so that you started doing that when you moved, after you moved to Oslo.
Yes, I did.
So I was looking online, and it seems like there's another, or I'm not sure how active they are, but also another band that was, at least at the time, was predominantly an all-woman band, was the Launderettes. And did you take some photos for them, for like band photos?
Yes. The drummer there is one of my best friends. And the band, we know them a lot. I'm playing another project with two of them also. And they... many of those covers, I've been taking those covers, like singles and press pictures, and yes. So, but it's not that I don't take that much band picture anymore. I don't,
because I'm playing a lot of music, and then when I'm working, it's not that much money to earn. It's like I'm working and earning money, and I'm doing most of. Playing music all the time, you know.
That's an interesting thing. You're right. You're playing music all the time. How do you balance, you know, your the band versus your photography? I mean, is this difficult or
no? It's I'm my own boss. I'm working for myself, and the music always comes first, and. So I have a calendar. Everything says stand in the calendar. If it comes double, I always have a great customer around that I talk polite to and try to move work. And so it's this is how I do it. But this works out.
Good. Well, let's talk some about this the song, the final song on the album. You mentioned it earlier. It's called Jungle, closing tune. This one I think was also on the Talking About Love EP.
Yes, it was.
Do you recall anything about the jungle? When
this is also song we recorded. We made a couple of recordings of this song also, and this song we produced together with Stevie. This song.
Okay, all right.
So this was we recorded in New York. We have really short time. 2 days we recorded two songs and. It was fantastic producer. You probably been in a studio with Little Steven too, and he's a really great producer. He have such a great ideas and it's I love it. He has such a he knows a lot about music, and he has an open mind for a little bit different thing and special things that I love. So yeah.
Well, Sugar, thank you so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Yeah, you're welcome. So much nice to be at your show. Thank you so much for letting me come.
Well, we're going to take a listen now to Jungle. It's the Cocktail Slivers off the new album Joyride here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Oslo, Norway. That was the Cocktail Slivers and Little Steven's Underground Garage with their song Jungle. It's included on their latest album for Wicked Cool Records titled Joyride. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's bass player Astrid Waller, also known as Sugarcane, for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Kurt Baker for producing our podcast. Next time around, I'll be joined by Father Bill of Father Bill and the Filthy Sinners.
The good father will tell us about his ministry and his debut release, the EP titled Rock and Roll Priest. That's your next Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.